Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. What
Hello.
A busy one. What a busy one, Vin.
Yeah, good week.
Yeah, so I'm off on my holidays for 2 weeks, so I think we've finished off in style. Loads of great stuff. The Killers were on a Monday night, Arcade Fire, a very unusual interview from Florence. There was some heavy breathing going on, wasn't there?
There was, and we found out about the panpipes as well, finally.
Yes, it's not panpipes, it's a single note African flute.
Yeah, so the Ewoks are going to be upset about that, aren't
they? Can I do my little impression of it?
Go on. It's not bad.
It's all right, isn't it? I'm almost there. Irvine Welsh was on as well, which is a really special moment for both of us. Vin lived in Edinburgh for a while. We're both big fans of Trainspotting and all the other books. He was on good form as well.
It was the most sort of fanboying I think we've yeah. done in the studio, wasn't it?
I gave him a bottle of whiskey and I could just see the madness in his eyes as he was looking forward to, as he would say, tanning the whole thing in a one-hour on the way home.
Don't open that yet.
Don't open it yet. Peter Crouch as well popped in on Thursday night because he was getting a little ear around what we do every night because he's taking control of the evening show for a couple of
weeks. He's basically doing work experience, wasn't he?
It's amazing to see a man being humbled by being like doing a new job for the first time.
So this is a microphone.
Yeah. No, it's like, this guy earns £80,000 a week and he's coming here to do Radio X because
he
loves music.
Does he?
He does. 80 grand a
you
week.
You should not have told me that.
I should have. But you know what though? That's what I love him even more. Because I just like to tell everybody I'm not on that kind of money and neither are you, Vin. So it's great that he's coming in because he loves the music. Crouchy on the Evening Show podcast. Plus classic albums. This week was good fun, wasn't it? We had a little delve deeper into Kings of Leon.
Yeah, yeah, I'll shake heartbreak.
The hairy, hairy era of Kings of Leon. So I hope you enjoy all of that. This is the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. Enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Classic Killers there for you on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart with the Evening Show. Very excited about tonight for very good reason, because the biggest band in the world right now, in my opinion, are in the studio. Most successful rock band, I've learned from the internet, from Nevada. 22 million record sales, which is pretty incredible. They're fresh from, I think fresh is the right word, from British Summertime at Hyde Park, and an amazing performance at Glastonbury as well. The greatest frontman of his generation, Mr. Brandon Flowers, and talk about the rhythm on the Pots and Pans. We've got Ronnie the Trouble Carvanucci with us as well. Welcome aboard, boys. You deserve a little clap for that.
Thanks for having us.
How are you, boys? Are you all right?
Great.
Great to see you.
Good. You too.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know why I call you the Trouble Car.
Like, I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that?
No.
I like it though.
Where I grew up in Scotland, we had quite a lot of Italian descendants, you know? So if somebody said to me, Ronnie Vannucci's coming to see you, I'd be quite worried about it. The Trouble Car's coming to see you.
I'm gonna run you over.
Exactly that. So, gents, I saw you at Glastonbury. What an incredible, incredible way to come back to Britain that was. How has it been since then?
Everything's been a little bit of a letdown. That's a good battery charger.
Yeah.
That shows like that are, you know, a fuel for us.
Yeah.
Powers the engines.
It was
powers the Trouble Car.
Because we turned up about an hour and a half before the gig, getting quite excited about it. And the closest I could get was just under the canopy of the tent. And I looked behind me and there was like another 10,000, 20,000 people.
Wow.
I mean, did you have any kind of idea of that kind of audience? Could you see that far out from where you were?
We really couldn't quite tell how far out it spread.
Yeah.
But we could feel it, you know? And there was a great energy and it was just an unbeatable 45 minutes for us.
Yeah, it was a perfect set. It went down a treat, didn't it?
It was the first time I'd ever heard... It's the first time I couldn't hear the band.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm on in-ear monitors, so
yeah,
effectively wearing headphones, and the voices were overpowering the band.
Yeah, what an amazing thing.
It's crazy.
And then there's a beautiful picture I saw the other day that you posted in the pink jacket with the sun setting over London. It's just an amazing moment. How did that feel for you boys? You know, because you've played Hyde Park before, you've had amazing gigs, but that looked like another really special memory to cherish.
I don't remember it being as fun as it was this time. What no. Did they change where it was? Where it is in the grass? I don't know.
I think they changed the schematic.
The stage has improved or something, and it was the crowd was incredible. I don't know. It was a good one.
Yeah, the neighbors get a little bit grumpy about the noise, don't they? Which is a shame, because I noticed you asked the fans which song you should play that night.
Oh, yeah,
restricted in time.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very hard curfew. We had to be very cautious of that.
Do you get the fine personally if you go over the curfew?
I don't know. There's only been a couple times where we've gone over where we've just said, all right, we're just going to go with what we wanted to do.
Yeah,
we've never had to.
Send the trouble car around. He'll sort it out. Send the trouble car. Right, we're going to play the latest single. It's an absolute belter of a track. We absolutely love it. It's outstanding. This is The Man by The Killers on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was The Killers and The Man. What a brilliant new single that is. It's gone down wonderfully, hasn't it, boys? Brandon Flowers, Ronnie Vannucci still in the studio. You must be pleased with the reception it's had.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. We sort of got a lukewarm response to the last record, and so it's nice to, you know, feel people are as excited about something as you are, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we're all boys kind of the 80s, I think. Were you born in 76, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Were you, Brandon?
81.
81, right. So we're children of the 80s, and it's got a beautiful, all the great things about the 80s included in this song. I don't know if that's a deliberate thing you do, or it just happens to kind of pour out of you because of your upbringing. What do you think?
We were both raised in a very, you know, on the radio. Mm. And so it's a very natural sort of outpouring.
Yeah. Brandon, the two little things I absolutely love about it, two little sound effects, tiny little touch. Let me play it now. Let's have a little listen. There's a cash machine. And then the pop as well.
Yeah.
The shampoo. Were there any other sound effects in the mix for this? Or is it just those two? You thought, we'll have that. And whose idea was it?
I'm going to take credit for those two ideas. I don't think I ever would have had, Pink Floyd did it pretty, you know, did a pretty good job on Money with the cash machine. Has anybody brought that back since then? I don't know. Not that I can think of, anyway. They gave us permission. Yeah, they gave us permission, I guess. Those people have done it before. It was playful, and that was how it felt in the studio. We haven't been like that with the song in a while. Sometimes you can, when you're in a band, you can take yourself a little bit too seriously.
Yeah.
And this song really brought some levity to the record.
And I did that.
There we go.
Does that sound familiar?
We're going to clip that. I'm going to have that as my text message alert on my phone. Yeah. It's the trouble car.
Trouble car.
Right, boys. More from The Killers in just a second. Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Vannucci are going to stick around with us.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Looking resplendent in their rock and roll attire.
Resplendent.
We had a little bit of a debate about whether you'd wear sunglasses in the studio, but I'm pleased to say you've got your feet still on the ground, not wearing sunglasses indoors. Pleased about it.
Yeah. I lost mine.
It's the only other reason. It's the only reason. Right, gents, as I was saying, all three of us are children of the 80s, right? So I'm going to test your 80s credibility, see how much you really know about the 80s. And we're going to find out who really is the man in The Killers.
Okay.
So it was Brandon v. Ronnie, right? You up for this, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah.
It's a very simple game, right? You've got to listen to the song and tell me which film in the 80s it's from.
Oh, hell.
Right?
Okay.
So, Ronnie, you're going to go first.
It's The Goonies.
Ah, straight away. Brandon knew that. He had that in the bag as well. What a film, by the way, wasn't it?
It's magic. It's a piece of magic.
I'm there right now.
We went to Astoria where they filmed it on a day off. And we took the bus to Astoria and we went around to the house.
Yeah.
The house and the jail where the Fratelli brothers locked. That's all still there.
The museum.
Yeah. And it was and then we watched Goonies that night.
Brandon, this is your chance to level with Gordon. Are you ready for this? Oh. Don't look for help.
Is it ABBA?
What film?
Yeah, I don't know what film it is.
Is it Ronnie? You got a chance to steal a point here.
No, I don't recognize it.
Oh.
This might not have been big in America.
It's The Gremlins.
I was just about to say it's Gremlins.
The Gremlins Hardlines, right? Okay, Ronnie, it's your turn again. Your turn again, Ronnie. You ready for this? Okay, this is quite a tricky one.
I haven't seen The Gremlins since I was five.
Hey, Ronnie. There's a real 80s vibe about this. He's feeling it. Has he got it? Brandon, you got it?
You got it?
Oh, look at that.
Against all odds?
No! No! Brandon, you got a chance to steal here.
I don't know it.
It's Top Gun.
Oh, man.
I thought you'd have got that, boys. I thought you got one more, right? Let's see if you can...
What song is that,
so
though?
So bad, right?
That's the theme tune to Top Gun.
That's the theme
tune. Right, here we go. Right, Brandon, your turn.
All right. I know this one. This is weird science.
Yes! Congratulations, Brandon.
And can we talk about Oingo Boingo for a second?
What a band.
So underrated. They just sort of go under the radar. Yeah. When you talk about all the great 80s music, and Danny Elfman is such a talent. Yeah. And there's so much more to them than Dead Man's Party and Weird Science. Mm-hmm. And whoever's listening, at least start with their greatest hit. It's called Best of Boingo. Yeah, and it's so good.
Yeah.
Best of Boingo. And it's, man.
Sean, we'll settle this. We'll have one more each, right? Let's just keep going with it, right? So it's like back to you, Ronnie. Back to you, Ronnie. And by the way, I've got faith in you with this one, because this is quite a big American movie, this one. Right, ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
It's like a Killer's B-side.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah. It's Axel F.
Yes.
By Harold Faltermeyer.
Oh, yes.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Superb. That's superb. Now, Brandon, you have to score here to level it. Otherwise, Ronnie is officially the man.
Axel Foley, Axel Eddie Murphy's character.
Here he goes. Right, should know this. Fellow Scots. What film?
All right, I got this. What film? Everybody knows Breakfast Club.
It's too easy. It's too easy, that one.
We're both the man.
You're both the men. You're the men. You're the men.
We're the men.
More from Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Vucci. They are both of them in. Right, here's the Killers now. Both of the men in action. This is Human.
I did my best in the
radio.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So, Jens, you're here to talk about your tour as well. So, it went on sale last week. You don't really need to promote it, do you? Because so many people want to buy the tickets. So, you know, I don't know what more to say about it other than what an exciting thing having you back playing arenas. Well, why arenas, though, and not stadiums?
We like to start small. Yeah. I don't know. We're still growing and learning and we've played a couple stadiums. But I think right now we feel pretty comfortable in where we're at. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens in the future. But
any suspicion they'll add any other dates in there?
I don't know. One or two, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to give you another one of those. Remember this Monkey Robson Chinese burns? I taught you last time.
Yeah, Monkey Robson. I know what Chinese burns are. What do we call them? Indian burns. Yeah.
Maybe that's enough playground punishment talk for now. More from Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Vannucci in just a second.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the evening show here on Radio X. I'm delighted to say that on the line right now, I've got Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire, the innovative, groundbreaking and brilliant Arcade Fire. They've just played some brilliant intimate shows. Castlefield Bowl up in Manchester. Hello, Wynn. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Wynn, would you mind just setting the scene for us? Where are you right now? Can you paint a picture for us?
I'm actually in Florence, Italy. We're about to play a show in kind of a big hippodrome kind of horse racing track, and I'm actually by a pool because there just happens to be a weird tennis club next door and they let us swim.
Ah, that's good. Living up to the rock and roll stereotype. I hope you're wearing a nice pair of white Speedos at the same time.
Yeah, I can't really rock the Speedo, but maybe one day.
Tell me this, you tour a lot, right? But do you get a chance to enjoy the cities that you visit, or is it just on the tour buses, into cars, flying between venues? Are you really getting a chance to sample where you're visiting?
We've gotten a lot better at taking time to explore cities and kind of go more places that we want to go. And yeah, the last couple of shows in Italy have been fantastic. It's basically a food tour.
Yeah, get to sample your palate all over the Europe when you're on your travels. Well, I've got to mention the gig you did in Manchester at the Castlefield Bowl. That was a lovely tribute you paid to Manchester with a Joy Division tribute. Was that something that you thought long and hard about doing, or was it something off the cuff that just happened when you were on stage?
Well, it was. We've always had a great affinity and love for Manchester bands. It's like kind of what a lot of what got me into music in high school. And there was definitely a really intense atmosphere in Manchester after the attacks. And you could just feel people really wanting to have an uplifting show. And it was just a really beautiful, intense energy from the crowd.
It felt absolutely perfect. It was a really lovely thing to do. You're on your fifth album now, right? It's out at the end of the July. It's Everything Now is called. And it immediately sprang at me when I was reading up about it that you've got a really interesting combination of producers working on that album. So Daft Punk's Tom Bangalter and Pulp's Steve Mackey are the two producers who have been working on the album. It seemed like quite an unusual combination to have those two together. Was it something deliberate that you put those two together? Was that the plan?
Well, it's our relationships have just kind of come together through friendship. So Steve is someone that he actually did a remix for Powered Out on Funeral. So we kind of met him on our first couple trips to the UK. And Thomas, we actually got close with through the kind of whole Tidal thing. And they both just have incredibly great taste in music. And and sometimes when you've been in a band for a long time, it's helpful to have someone else in the room that can say, yeah, that was really great, and kind of get excited about stuff and kind of help you see it through.
Yeah, it's quite a brave thing as well to put panpipes in a song. I mean, is that something that you were completely confident about, or did you have a little wobble, or did it feel at any point like a bit of Spinal Tap going on?
Well, it's not actually panpipes. It's actually an African flute, and the guy Patrick Bebe, who plays it, it's actually his voice, the whole thing.
Wow.
There's really only the flute is only one note, so it's actually essentially a vocal part. But it was originally taken from a song called Coffee Cola, and then we found the son of the musician who performed it, and he played it with us live in the studio. There's definitely like the knee jerk, like, I can't believe there's panpipes in a song, it's see him perform, and it's the most beautiful, it's like just his voice. It's actually a really intimate, beautiful instrument. But I don't really have shame about anything. I mean, like, if it's good, it's good. Like, I don't think we used hurdy-gurdy because it was cool. I was like, oh wow, that's so cool. They're using medieval instruments.
It works perfectly, Winner. I'm so glad you did it. I'm going to play that song for you right now on Radio X. This is Ever Than Now here on The Evening Show.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was Ever Than Now on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm pleased to say that Wynn Butler's still on the phone from Florence over in Italy. Wynn, there's a song on the new album called Peter Pan. Do you think being in a band that gives you a chance to sort of hold on to your youth that little bit longer than everybody else?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I have a four-year-old that's pretty funny sometimes when, you know, you go to drop your kid off at school and you meet the other parents and you're like, whoa, you really feel like maybe not the same generation as other parents. Like, you've kind of skipped a generation in a weird way. But to me, a lot of it is just being open. And I think as you get older, you tend to have your taste and things you're into, and you're less open to explore things. And I think a lot of people, and if you're in a band, your kind of job on earth is to explore new sounds and be open to things, and so it kind of makes you seem younger in a weird way.
Yeah, you know what, when I listened to the whole album just before you came on the phone, and I think it feels really youthful, it feels really upbeat and quite an optimistic album. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. Was that a deliberate effort to do that?
I mean, none of it's that deliberate. You're just trying to find the songs and find the songs that you're proud of and that excite you and that you want to work on. I mean, there's a song on the record called Put Your Money on Me that, like, I just can't wait for people to hear. I think it's like the best thing we've ever done, you know. So to hear that people are really liking everything now, it makes me really excited, because I'm like, whoa, they haven't even heard Put Your Money on Me yet, because to me, like, that's the tune.
Keeping your powder dry. I have to say, I listened to the album, I've only heard it once all the way through, and I think it's right up there with the best stuff you've ever done.
Thank you.
Excellent stuff. Wynn, listen, I'm going to let you get back to Florence and your culinary tour of Europe. I hope the gig goes brilliantly. Thanks so much for doing the interview, and all the best with the album when it comes out in July.
Yeah, thanks for playing our music. We really appreciate it.
You're a good man, Wynn. Listen, all the best. Take care. We'll catch up soon. That was Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire. The new album, Ever Than Now, is out on July the 20th.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Foo Fighters, Times Like These. This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. But from Monday, when I'm off on holiday, it will be The Evening Show with Peter Crouch. He's the only England international footballer you're allowed to like as a Scot. He's played for QPR, Spurs, Southampton, Liverpool, Portsmouth, Aston Villa, and he's on pre-season right now with Stoke. But never mind the football. He's got more appearances at gigs than he's had on the pitch. He's a genuine, genuine music fan. He's got an ear for music in the same way he's got an eye for goal. He's a regular listener to Radio X. He knocks about with all our favourite bands, and he's here right now, the great man Peter Crouchy. How you doing?
How are you going? No good?
I feel like I've seen an awful lot of you, Crouchy, in the last 6 months, and it's made my life better.
Yeah, you can't shake me off.
We've seen some great gigs, we've had some late nights. Even last night's a great place to start, right? Because you're here because you love music, genuinely love your music. And we found ourselves, you could have been out with all your mates at a posh dinner somewhere, you sacked it off, came to Nambuka in Holloway Road and watched three up-and-coming bands, which I thought was great. What did you think of it last night?
No, it's a big passion of mine. It's something that I'm really into. I love the new up-and-coming bands, going to watch them. Last night was fantastic. Obviously, Sundial Karma, Rat Boy, and Bang Bang Romeo, I've seen for a number of years now. You know, I've always enjoyed watching them. I think she's incredible, Anastasia. And I think they've got a big, big future. And it's nice to always find, get it to switch it round like a footballer, like Harry Kane, for instance.
Yeah.
See him when I was at Tottenham, coming through, working so hard when I was at Spurs in the youth team, and to come through, and now he's on the stage that he's on. And it's great to see a similar path with the bands. And you know, it's my passion. It's something that I enjoy, and I'm, you know, really looking forward to being part of XFM.
See, this is the thing, Crouchy, right? You are... you're a music fan, you know all your stuff is Radio X, but we'll just dance over that. you know,
it's a great start.
Tap dance right around that one. You listen, you know your music, right? But what's it like having to do the professional part of it, the talking out loud, listening to your voice in the headphones for the first time?
I found it difficult, to be honest. The first couple of practices I had, I got very, very nervous, but yeah. I'm enjoying it now, loving it, working with some good people, so I'm looking forward. We've got some good stuff on the show, and I'm looking forward to playing the music that I like.
Oh, it's great, Crouchy, it's great stuff. Now, listen, we're going to play a band you know very well indeed, right? This is a bit of Kasabian for you. You're in love with the psycho.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Kasabian, you're in love with the psycho. I'm Gordon Smart with the Evening Show here on Radio X. But from Monday, it's going to be the Evening Show with Peter Crouch, because I'm going on my holidays and Big Crouchy's standing in for me. Just had a text message, Crouchy. Says, just like to point out, Gordon, you've mentioned all those clubs he played for, but you've missed out Norwich. That's from Richard. Apologies, Richard. You're the second best player who's ever played for Norwich, by the way, after Robert Fleck.
I had a great time at Norwich, actually. Won a championship medal, believe it or not.
Did you really?
Yeah, 3 months down there. It was a great, great time.
You've got the silverware. Now, Crouchy, the last time I saw you doing a little bit of DJing, when we were in the same room together, it was at Serge's wedding from Kasabian, and it didn't go very well. And I don't want to bring in, I don't want to be a bad omen or anything, but do you want to talk us through what happened?
Yeah, it was a terrible performance. the music stopped, and obviously I was thinking, what's going on? You know, everyone was outside drinking and having a laugh, and I was the only one in there, so I went back in, got on the decks, and I got booed off in, I think, 3 tunes, playing some horrendous stuff.
I remember Phil Collins, and Bill I remember Collins, Jimmy Neil, I think, was played.
Ain't No Doubt is a classic. I can't understand why no one likes that Jimmy Neil. It's a classic.
Now, Crouchy, you're going to redeem yourself, right? You've got 2 weeks to redeem yourself for that terrible performance. What are you going to do in the show? What features have you got?
Yeah, got a few features. Looking forward to it, to be honest. Got Crouchy's Classics, where I pick my own tunes. Hopefully get a better reaction than I do in the Stoke dressing room. Sido Berahino doesn't like my tunes too much. Pete's Picks, where I play new bands, the up-and-coming bands, the bands that I've seen that I like to play, are going to go on to big things, hopefully. And obviously we've got the interviews with big, big bands.
I know you're going to get all these interviews while I'm on holiday. I'm going to be listening in. I don't know, Crouch, I might just send you sort of abuse, I think is the word I'm looking for on text, just to throw you off.
No problem. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I met a lot of people in my life through the football and things like that, but bands and stuff like that, is looking forward to meeting some top people.
Can you give us a teaser? Anybody, any names you can give us? Who's coming in?
I'm not sure how much I can give away, to be honest. I'll keep a little surprise going, but I think Sean Ryder might be one of them.
Oh, brilliant. Sean Ryder, what a footballer he would be as well. And listen, you can always phone Serge, you can always speak to other characters, Miles Kane, all that mob, and all your friends with them.
I'll be calling a few favours in, don't worry about that.
Crouchy, I'm going to be listening and watching. Don't you worry about that. Peter Crouch taking over from me for 2 weeks from Monday. Sticking around a little bit longer, though. Here's a band I know he absolutely loves. This is Oasis and the classic Live Forever.
Maybe.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Oasis, Live Forever. I'm Gordon Smart with the Evening Show here on Radio X. But from Monday, for 2 weeks, it's going to be the Evening Show with Peter Crouch, 7 till 10, every weeknight. And Sundays as well, he's putting a proper shift in. Crouchy, have you got any pre-match nerves about it?
I have, to be honest, yeah, at least when I'm playing football, I know what I'm doing. I've got to pretend to know what I'm doing on this radio show, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, anxiety dreams?
Yeah.
good man. Now, Crouchy, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, right? And it's based on the most famous people I found myself standing beside at a urinal. You are one of those people. And I have to say, it's quite an intimidating prospect standing next to you at the urinal. You're a big fella. We'll move on. Crouchy, who's the most famous person or the most interesting character you found yourself standing beside at a urinal?
Well, there's been a few footballers over the years. I think David Beckham's got to be one of the most famous.
He's gone with a big name early.
Sit next to? I don't think I've ever sat next to him.
That's a different game.
I've only slashed him yet. Noel Gallagher, I remember after the Brixton gig, music-wise, I think Noel Gallagher's probably the biggest name I've stood next to.
Yeah.
Couldn't bring myself to talk to him, so I don't know how I'm going to do this Radio X show when I can't talk to Noel Gallagher. I literally couldn't say one word to him.
Yeah. Did he give you a nod?
You give me a little wink, yeah.
That's all you need. Crouchy, I can't wait. I'm going to listen in from my holidays. All the best to you next week. Every night, Monday to Friday, 7 till 10. Peter Crouch standing in on the evening show. He's got some big guests, he's got some great features and loads of unbelievable music, and I'm sure he's going to have plenty crack as well. What a character. Big Crouchy taking on the evening show. Some great music still to come tonight as well. Coming next, Blur and Muse.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the evening show on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Brandon Flowers and Ronnie Vannucci are still in the studio. Now, boys, I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, which is based on the most famous people I find myself standing beside at a urinal. I once stood beside Brandon Flowers at the Union Chapel in London. We made very awkward conversation, but the book was based on an encounter with Sean Connery. So the idea is, who is the most famous person Sean Connery stood beside at a urinal? And we carry it on.
That's cool.
So far, we've had amazing stuff like Jack Nicholson, Ewan Bremner, who was in Trainspot the other day, said he had Dennis Rodman on one side and Lars from Metallica on the other. And Lars started reciting lines from a film to him, you know, as he was having a visit. Come on, boys. You've been all over the world touring. You must have a great story for us.
So last time we were in Dallas, we were doing a warm-up show at the House of Blues, and there was like a function going on with a bunch of ex-NBA players. I really had to go to the bathroom, and I walk in at the same time Shaquille O'Neal walks in.
He's a big man.
And there were two urinals right next to each other, and it was me, and I felt like a six-year-old next to this guy, and him, and it was just so obvious that it was like, big dude, me, and so I looked over at him, and I said, nice watch.
Ronnie the Trouble Car. That's one of the best we've had. You know, did you have stage fright, or did you manage to carry on without any kind of pressure?
I had, you know, maybe no a couple
problem.
Drinks in me.
No problem. No problem. He's a drummer. Now, Brandon, come on. Regale us with a wonderful tale of celebrity in a urinal.
I have a decent one. I got a couple decent ones.
We've got time.
Okay. So our first time going to the NME Awards, it was a, you know, we were sort of starstruck, and you know, it was an incredible experience for us. So we were just happy to be there. Anyway, I'm in the bathroom, I'm at the urinal, and Bernard Sumner, who's one of my heroes, steps up next to me and starts singing "Somebody Told Me."
No.
In my ear.
No way.
And I hadn't thought about it until you guys just brought this up, but it was so surreal, you know? And
was it a good rendition?
It was decent, yeah. You can
was
carry
it, like,
it too.
Like close and...
It was just like, I mean, sensual. I didn't know. That is so out of this world to have that happen, you know?
Well, did New Order not provide the name of the band?
It was incredible.
What a special moment that was. And why not play a little bit of New Order for you now? This is Regret on Radio X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Brandon was just telling us about bumping into Bernard Sumner at the NME Awards. And while we're on the subject of the NME Awards, Brandon, I think I'm due you a bit of an apology about that night. In 2000 and maybe 3, I would say, just as the Killers were sort of venturing into the UK for the first time, I went to an event. There was this guy looking at me a bit funny, and he came across and said he was from the NME. And he said, "Are you Brandon Flowers?" And I went, "Yeah." Yeah. And I gave him an interview pretending to be
no,
you.
Oh, that's good. Great.
And it ran in the NME.
I probably still get asked about questions.
He said to me, he said, I didn't realise that you were Scottish, Brandon. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm from Vegas, but I spent a lot of time in Scotland. So it's important for my upbringing. I like golf. It all went in the NME. So I'm really sorry about that.
That's funny.
Brandon McFlowers and Ronnie the Trouble Carvinucci, it's such a pleasure having you in, boys. You know, and listen, you know, I know you don't need to come in and sell tickets anymore, so it's really grateful that you've come and spoken
that's
to us.
Cool.
We love you. Radio X, you're wonderful human beings. You handsome, handsome men. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That still sounds as fresh as the day it came out. New Order, Temptation on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show. And I'm very excited to tell you my guest tonight is a man of class, talent and intellect. Not just because he supports the greatest football team in the world, Hibernian FC, but because he has written 10 timeless novels, including Trainspotting, Filth and Skag Boys. He's been riding the crest of a very special wave with Trainspotting 2, which has taken 35 million quid at the box office. So let's all tap him up for a loan right now. I want a tenner, Irvin. The one and only Irvin Welsh is with us right now in his studio.
Thank you, Gordon, and the tenner is yours, mate.
Thank you. Can we make it 20?
Okay, then, let's...
Go, let's go for it. Like, right, okay. You're looking well, sir. I have to say, first of all, in
I've
your summer attire.
I've been in Miami and I've been kind of on the beach and all that, and riding a Vespa around Miami Beach and stuff. It's been great, you know.
Because a lot of people don't realise that you really look after yourself. You know, you're a disciplined man. You get up in the morning, you box, then you write 5,000 words, and then the rest of the day is yours.
It's all mine's after that, like, you know. Right. I sort of put the shift in.
It's a discipline, though, isn't it? And you maintain it, you stick to it. You're pretty good, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of. Sometimes I'm better at it than others, I think it's easier in somewhere like Miami. You know, it's like the weather's nice, and you don't want to be the kind of the solitary kind of white milk bottle skin beer gutted Scot, like, you know, it sticks out like a sore thumb. So you try and kind of sort of make a little bit of an effort there.
I mean, you could quite easily put your feet up because things have gone brilliantly over the last few years. But you're here to, we should talk business because you've got two or three things on the go at the moment. The first thing I should mention is Edinburgh Festival. You've got a play on the go, which sounds brilliant.
Yeah. We've got three things on the go at the festival, so I've become this kind of sort of theatre darling lovey from nowhere. You know, it's just suddenly happened overnight.
It suits you.
Yeah, it does suit me. It's great. So I've become a lovey, a darling, a sweetheart, and I've got the trio, so we've got three different things. Yeah. And I think the first one we're going to talk about is performance.
Performance, yeah. So that's Nick Moran who's directing it for you. You've
Nick's
written it with Dean Kavanagh.
Nick's directing it, yeah. And it came about that Dean Kavanagh and myself wrote the script for it, and it came out of Dean's obsession with movies, but the story behind movies. You know, we did one called Babylon Heights a few years back, and that was about the story of the little people in The Wizard of Oz and how they got recruited into the whole Hollywood kind of system. Aye. And all the machinations involved in that. And then he wanted to do one about the film Performance with Mick Jagger and James Fox, which was, you know, Donald Camel's movie, which was a big cult movie. And it was the first time, you know, it was London in the 60s, it was the first time that kind of East and West met, really. It was like the sort of the kind of toffs like Donald Camel and the gangsters kind of they recruited real gangsters to sort of take to be the Chaz Devlin character. Yeah. Who James Fox played.
Serious characters as well, aren't they? These were bad guys.
Yeah, they were great, you know, and it was like, it kind of opened up a whole, because it was the 60s, it opened up a whole new sort of avenue, you know, a potential little earner, a potential revenue stream for all these geezers, like, you know, so, and it broke down all these kind of social kind of boundaries and barriers. So such an interesting time. And we did a play based on basically two guys who were auditioning. Aye. for these parts. And
two gangsters, two sort of characters.
Two gangsters, and we got a couple of really, you know, the two best actors you could find. We got Perry Benson, who's kind of a veteran of just about every
kind. Outstanding, isn't he?
He's an amazing,
really good.
Amazing actor, terrific guy, and brilliant actor. And we got George Russo. Who's kind of an emergent star. He's going, you know, he's really going to be a big star, I think. Yeah. Great actor. And you have, you know, and these guys have got, you know, Dean's from Yorkshire, I'm from Scotland, so these guys kind of authenticate the whole thing for us. I mean, they kind of, we've gone back into the 60s and we've gone back into that, all that kind of sort of Cockney patois and patter and all that. A lot of it is dead now, you know. You might hear some old boys in pubs in Essex kind of
talking
about
it. It's a shame it's dying out, really. Mickey Flanagan's kind of keeping the flag flying for that.
I mean, everybody's having a, you know, it's like you get a renaissance, but every renaissance you get, you lose a lot. In it still, you know. So so it feels really, it was really strange kind of hearing all these old terms and all these old words on paper again. And George and Perry just delivered them kind of pitch perfect. Yeah. And Nick's a Londoner as well, you know. So we have that kind of real sense of it. And it kind of came about that we're working on a movie with Nick, and Dean says, I'm going to show Nick the script and see what he thinks, you know. Yeah. Thinking that, you know, he would go like, you know, what's this kind of this daft joke in this Yorkshire pudding doing, writing a thing about Cockneys and all that. But he loved it. He says, this is great. He just, you know, this is brilliant. It's, you know, the dialogue is so kind of authentic and rich, and the characters are so rich. We just got to do this. Yeah. So he just wanted to do it straight away. You know, we got Nathan McGee and Michael Hamlin, who was one of the original, sort of, he was an original mate of Donald Camel's in the performance. era. So it felt like kind of getting this really brilliant team of people together.
It's a strong team, that, isn't it?
It's a great team, and it's a passion project for everybody. Yeah. So we've just rocketed on it.
A cracking team, and it's pulling your West Ham credentials in there as well, isn't it?
It's sticking my West Ham credentials right to the forefront of everything. Yeah.
Right, everyone's going to stick around to tell us a little bit more about some of the other projects he's got up his sleeve at the moment. But in the meantime, here's a little bit of Noel Gallagher, another friend of Mr. Welsh's. They've got a dark past together.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, the Dying of the Light on Radio X. This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. I'm very pleased to say that Irvin Welsh has stuck around. He hasn't left. He's got a pint of water just for anybody listening and wants to know about that. It's damaged his reputation there. Noel tells an amazing story, Irvin, about a night you had around the Trainspotting film coming out in 1994, I think it was, when you ended up at the Cannes Film Festival, and I think things got slightly out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at the Hotel du Cap, which is quite a prestigious,
very posh,
kind of very, very posh hotel, that we were standing in opposite ends of the corridor, and we're taking these fire hoses, these very high velocity fire hoses, and we're shooting them at each other. And I remember getting this jet of water in the face, kind of physically pushing me back, like, you know, and it kind of concentrated the mind, because you just aim for Noel's eyebrows, basically. You can't really miss it. You're gonna get them right in the head.
It's a target. He always tells the story. He said it was like a 3-day party, and it ended. He knew it was time to go home, and he saw you with a tray of drinks walking into a patio door.
I know. No, I mean, I'm usually good with not spilling drinks, but I think in that occasion, you know, things got the better of me.
I've got to say as well, I'm going to take my wee boy to see his first ever gig on Saturday night in Dublin, see Noel, and it got me thinking about your first ever gig. So I'm guessing 1972, that kind of time, 1973 in Edinburgh.
Yeah, it was Billy at the Empire, and the old Empire, which kind of became the Festival Theatre when they tore it down, and I was so excited about it, and I was going to say an acne-stricken 12-year-old, but I didn't have acne till I was 13, so I think I was quite a clear-complexioned 12-year-old, but very, just very, very excited and very shrill, and I just couldn't believe it when we were about kind of four from the front of the stage, and you couldn't believe it to actually see this guy who was on Top of the Pops kind of sort of filleting Mick Ronson's guitar strings, and then suddenly you can almost touch him. You know, it was absolutely amazing, and the first time I felt absolutely starstruck, you know, I completely kind of couldn't speak for a bit, and then I eventually found my kind of squeaky vocal cords came into their own. But amazing gig, you know, it was the Ziggy Stardust era, and it was just a top-notch experience.
It must have left an indelible mark because it features so prominently in all your books. But did you get to meet him again after that properly?
No, I stood him up twice.
Oh!
Yeah, I stood Bowie up twice, and one time it was actually when Trainspotting was launched in America. I was supposed to go there, and he was part of the presentation team that was kind of introducing it. I was supposed to meet him there, and I thought, I can't do this, I can't meet Bowie, I'm going to turn into a kind of 14-year-old girl, basically, and just scream and squeal at him and all that, or turn into a real nerd and ask him about kind of, you know, when Chuck Hammer played in Scary Monsters, like, you know, was he better guitarist than Adrian Belew, and how did this all work? So I was going to ask him all these fanboy questions. And then another time, he was on the Glass Spider tour, and he phoned up my publicist and said, I'd really like to take Irvin out for a meal to the Ubiquitous Chip in Glasgow, you know. And actually I had tickets for the gig, you know. I was going to get it, I said, I can't go and see Bowie, I can't go to the gig. I ended up doing the quiz night in the Windsor Bar in Leith with Paul Reiki and Liverpool Sean, like, you know, on ecstasy as well, like.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's time to do classic albums.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
So every week on The Evening Show, me and producer Vin like to delve a little bit deeper into a classic album, something that we really love here at Radio X. In the past few weeks, we've had all sorts of great stuff. The Queen is Dead by The Smiths. We've had Primal Scream and Screamadelica. And this week, we've decided it's time for a bit of Kings of Leon. We haven't done enough American stuff recently. So Aha, Shake, Heartbreak is the focus of our attention tonight. It was their second album and released on the 1st of November 2004. I still find it hard to believe that Kings of Leon have been around nearly 14 years now. Seems ridiculous. So this was actually released 4 months earlier in the UK than the US, and it was part of a great trend at the time of American bands who broke in Britain first. Think back to this: Scissor Sisters, The Killers, The Strokes all got their big chance in the UK before they did anything in America. So we're going to claim them as a British band. The UK album cover, you will remember, is the black cover with a white orchid, but in the US it was a white cover with an orange orchid. And there's a line in the Dirty song, Taper Jean Girl, about an orchid. The less said about that, the better. I think it's slightly rude. There's also a photo hidden underneath the white plastic of the second black cover of the band as children, a lot less hairier version of the Fallowill Clan. The only Kings of Leon album to have a parental advisory label due to some pretty naughty language, shall we say, because they hadn't quite learned the trick of Socks on Fire. And if you don't know what I'm talking about in Socks on Fire, I had Nathan Fallowill on the show recently, and he said that when they explained to their kids some of their naughtier or raunchier lyrics, they changed the lyrics. So Sex on Fire becomes Socks on Fire. But Caleb did chip in when he was on the show and said that Taper Jean Girl is one that they can't quite explain. And this really is, at this point in their career, where Kings of Leon were beginning to enjoy the trappings of fame. Second album in, a little bit less hairy, travelling the world, misbehaving, hard drinking, naughty behaviour, enjoying the attention, shall we say. And I think that reflects itself in the music, Vin, because there is a real edge of Led Zeppelin, because it is a bit of a nod to sort of rock and roll debauchery of the 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite a rough and ready album, isn't it? I mean, I think it sounds very different to the later stuff, the stuff that we're all used to now. They're this big stadium band, aren't they? Polished, very smoothly produced. Back then, they're very rough around the edges. There was a lot of whiskey in a brown paper bag, that sort of thing, you know?
I heard a brilliant story about Caleb recently when he was at the Glamour Awards. They had a category, which was like a best female category, and Caleb sort of leaned over and said to somebody who was at the table that he'd had relations with almost all of the women in the category, which was kind of a sign of the times.
He's a very popular man, wasn't he?
He was a popular, handsome frontman with a bit of edge to them. You've got to think about this, by the way. The track list was full of cult favourite. King of the Rodeo, which is still a brilliant song, play it regularly on the evening show. Taper Jean Girl, a very naughty song, as I've said. Milk, The Bucket, which has become a karaoke classic. Soft, Raz, Four Kicks, and Velvet Snow. Like its predecessor, Youth and Young Manhood, Aha, Shake, Heartbreak was recorded with the brilliant producer Ethan Johns at his Three Crows studio in Los Angeles. And if you didn't know this, the Beatles' old Abbey Road mixing desk was used to create that really raw sound. Rolling Stone described the brilliant song Taper Jean Girl as a fine double-time explosion that, frankly, doesn't go on long enough, which is a pretty good summation for the whole album. It's fierce, fiery, stripped back, like the followers in that period. They were passionate, raw, hard drinking, rough and ready, as Vin just said. And like we're saying, you know, there is a homage to Led Zeppelin, Vin, isn't there?
Yeah, well, Four Kicks is sort of half named after Four Sticks, which was that Led Zeppelin song. And the riffs are even quite similar on it. And there is quite a lot on that. There's guitar parts that are a bit more out there.
Yeah.
Lots of guitar licks, I guess, and riffs that maybe you don't get in later Kings of Leon stuff. Yeah. It's definitely there. It's very rough. And it's rocking, you know, it's just like Led Zeppelin.
And just before the stylists have got hold of them as a band as well, because it was sort of pre-Caleb haircut.
Pre-haircut, yeah, that's the way in my head, it's pre-haircut, post-haircut. Those are the eras.
The Molly's Chamber, hairy men. They almost changed as a band. Right, so let's play two songs then from that classic album, Aha, Shake, Heartbreak. Two brilliant tunes. I've got The Bucket for you, followed by King of the Rodeo. This is a Kings of Leon double play on The Evening Show.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Next.
Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
What an amazing double play that was. King of the Rodeo, and before that, The Bucket from Kings of Leon's Aha, Shake, Heartbreak, their second album, which came out on the 1st of November 2004. What a song King of the Rodeo is. An example of how the Kings went a little more commercial at the time, a bubbly, bustling tune, but with a very catchy hook. And the production sounds a little bit smoother than elsewhere on the album. Before that, I played a bit of The Bucket as well. Absolute indie disco floor filler. One of the band's most successful singles, by the way, reaching number 16 in the UK singles chart, which was their most successful UK release at the time. It got to number number 23 in the US Modern Rock Chart too. If you didn't know this, it was about bassist Jared Falwell, who was the youngest member in the band, dealing with the band's fame at the age of 17. And when I say dealing with the band's fame at 17, I think he was just indulging himself. I once interviewed him and he was talking about his sexy time playlist. So that gives you an idea of what he was up to at the time. It's a sweet melodic guitar line accompanied by rough and ready percussion on the bucket. And Caleb's voice, strained, individual, indecipherable at times, almost struggling to hit those notes, which I can agree with because I've tried it plenty of times at karaoke. It really made his vocals stand out and made them sound incredibly honest. I once interviewed Caleb around that time as well, and it was funny because they'd just gone from that Jack Daniels swilling Tennessee Nashville rascal band to sort of clicking his fingers and asking for a glass of pink champagne. It's a brilliant moment I'll never ever forget. And it's quite funny as well, the relationship in the band at that time, because obviously you've got Nathan, Caleb and Jared and their cousin Matthew, and I think Matthew was finding it pretty hard because the other three got an awful lot of female attention, and I think at that time is when they just started to hit each other with guitars after gigs. It was slightly edgy to be around at the time. Christopher Nacho Falwell, what a great name that as well. He was another cousin to the band and a guitar tech for them. He makes an appearance in the video for Four Kicks. What a great name, Nacho Falwell. So that was Aha Shake Heartbreak, our classic album of the week. Came out in November 2004. Thoroughly enjoyed that. That was Classic Albums This Week here on The Evening Show.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Underworld and Born Slippy on Radio X. That just sends a shiver down the spine, doesn't it, Arvin?
Yeah, it does, like, you know, and not a chemically enhanced one this time, like, because back in the 90s.
It really takes us back to, you know, you just can't hear that song without thinking about Trainspotting, and it never seems to get old either, which is a special
thing. No, it's a great tune, and it was funny because when it came out, it was Carl Hyde from Underworld was living in Soho, and he's one of the few people that I knew that actually lived in Soho. So it's always nice to know somebody that actually lives in Soho, you know, when you think, I can't be bothered getting a cab or a taxi and all that. But he lived in Soho, and it was kind of fun, you know, to have that kind of resource, like, you know.
Special time. Now, Arvin, you brought a friend along with you today, the beautifully named Don DuGrazia, who has to be the most handsome man I've ever seen from Chicago. He looks like he might have been in Goodfellas. Don, you're working together on a project called The Creative, is that right?
Yeah, it's a kind of, I don't know if it's not a musical, it's a pop opera, isn't it?
Yeah, they make the director makes the distinction that it's not a musical, it's a pop opera, or a popra. Yeah. So we're learning some terminology when we're going through this whole thing.
And we're trying to keep, the director's a great guy, but he's like steeped in musical theatre in Chicago since about 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of, he just wants everything to be kind of
razzle-dazzle.
Yeah, just glam, razzle-dazzle. And we're kind of, it doesn't fit in with the hard-hitting social realism of the piece. It's a great project and we're having great fun with it, but there's a constant battle for the soul of the project every day in rehearsals, but all to the good of it, I think, really.
And Irvin, you got to know Don from your time living in Chicago, because that's where you're based now, isn't it?
Yeah, he's my neighbour, basically, like, you know, and we wrote this thing basically to keep out the pub, because it was like Chicago's a great drinking town, particularly in the summer, you know, and having Don as a neighbour, it's kind of, you know, it can get a bit galling, like, because he knows every bar in Chicago, he knows every bar, all the bar staff in every bar in Chicago, so it usually means that you get kind of sub drinks as well when you go out for a drink with him. So we thought we've got to try and kind of do something to avoid being in the pub this summer. So that was where Creative came from, wasn't it?
And Don, how aware were you of Irvin's work before you first sort of looked into him on the internet after a good night in the town?
Well, actually, some years before that, I had written my first novel and couldn't get anyone to look at it. It dealt with a lot of the sort of race and class conflict, a lot of violence and vulgarity and stuff, so I don't know why anyone wouldn't look at it. But at the time, someone sent me, showed me a copy of the New York Times Sunday magazine, and the cover was called The Beats of Edinburgh, and it's about the Scottish working class fiction movement. In the center of it was this guy, Irvin Welsh. I was like, oh, wow. And they said that this London, old school London publisher had just published Irvin and these other guys. And so I just sent it in the mail to them. And then, like, you know.
It actually happens like that.
Yeah. And like, I got a call. Hello, Don DeGrazia. So I got published there first. And then he came into Chicago for a literary festival. And we hung out. We got some drinks. Hit it off. He ended up moving to Chicago. And we became neighbors. And that's like, I don't know, 20 years ago or something like that. Or 15, something like that. And then, we literally, as we often would, bumped into each other on the sidewalk. went in to get something for lunch, and he was like, "Hey, let's write a screenplay this summer." And yeah.
And when we're going to see it?
Edinburgh Festival, yeah, the Pleasance.
It's going to be a busy festival for you, isn't it?
Going to be, yeah. I mean, as well as creatives and performers, there's the Trainspotting Live thing, which these guys have been tearing it up. They've really rebooted it as a sort of, it's a kind of young person's thing now, you know. It's very contemporary, and Greg Elspin and the In Your Face guys have done a fantastic job with it.
You know, you're successfully disproving the Manny theory that you can't ride two horses with one arse. Congratulations,
Irvin. Yes. Is that one of Manny's lines?
That's a Manny theme. Right, here's a bit of classic Iggy Pop for you on Radio X right now. This is Lust for Life. More from Irvin in just a second.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Iggy Pop, Lust for Life on Radio X. It's the evening show with me, Gordon Smart. The gorgeous, handsome, pouting, fragrant Don DeGrazia is here with his new friend, Irvin Welsh, Faye Leith. Irvin, I've got to ask you, right, as I've told you, I'm writing this book called Slash Gordon. It's right up there with Trainspotting, and it's about the most famous people I've stood at a urinal beside. You must have a long list of famous bathroom encounters.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most memorable ones are the ones that you don't expect.
Right.
Sorry, if you're hanging out with some kind of supposed stars and you go for a piss and you're standing next to them, you know, I mean, that doesn't really count. But the impromptu ones are the ones that you remember. I mean, I remember standing next to Willem Dafoe in an airport doing a slash, like, you know.
That's good. Did you have any conversation?
I did, actually, yeah, because I was, you know, I got in there first. And, you know, when you get in there first, you just piss happily. The person who comes and stands beside you is a bit kind of awkward and intimidated by your jet stream basically, like, you know. And I said to him, like, this is the most expensive place, this is where it all goes, mate. Yeah? You know, I was thinking about it because I had a few pints, basically, like, you know. And he looked at me with a kind of sort of sardonic grin, and that was it, basically. But
that's good enough from Will.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great to stand next to Willem Dafoe.
I mentioned to you earlier on that the Killers were on and they were talking about Bernard Sumner, but that's ten a penny for you.
It is. I mean, it's like everybody's done a piss alongside.
Don, have you got one for us?
Irvin Welsh. I don't know if you've heard of him.
He's not bad, is he? It's not a bad one. I think he's in my book as well, actually, Irvin Welsh. I've got to ask you, gentlemen, while you're still here, we've got to promote a couple of things then. So Edinburgh Festival is going to be a busy one. Trainspotting Live. There's a Ewan Bremner event. Spud from Trainspotting, you're doing a thing with him?
Yeah, we're doing that. We've got the Fire Engines have performed, like, you know, Davey Henderson and that crowd. They're going to play a gig. Arthur Baker, legendary New York DJ producer, he's coming in to do a DJ set. So it's going to be quite a mad, wild, eclectic night, you know. But most of all, 1,200 schemies singing along to it and chanting along to the Trainspotting movie. Like, you know, it's going to be absolute mayhem. And I'm looking forward to it, I think I'm looking forward to it.
Performers as well, where can you see that?
Performers is in the Assembly Rooms.
Yep.
So we've got two great spaces. We've got the Pleasance for creatives and we've got the Assembly Rooms for performers.
Yeah.
So we've monopolised all the best gigs, basically, at Edinburgh. Yeah.
Surely you're just back in that horrible position, having a screwdriver in your ribs saying, get us on the guest list for that, or you know.
Yeah, that's the worst thing, you know. That's why I'm going to hang around in London for as long as I can before going up there, like, you know. Yeah. And lying about the amount of time that I spend up there and kind of disconnecting the phone and saying I've lost it in a urinal next to Willem Dafoe.
Orphan, it's such a pleasure to see you. Thanks very much for coming.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Gordon. Thank
Lovely
you,
to meet you as well. So thanks, what a great much. Neighbour to have. Yeah. Just for the security alone, you know.
Yeah.
Radio. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, Kasabian are off touring the world at the moment. The weekend before last, they headline Transmit for the first time up in Glasgow. And we just had Irvin Welsh on the show, which was apt because the lads dedicated You're in Love with a Psycho to Begbie, a.k.a. Robert Carlyle, who was watching from the side of the stage at Glasgow Green. And Serge always changed up his T-shirts for gigs. And at Bennekaseem this weekend, he had a really good one. He went for orange font with their budget flight version of hit single Easy, and all it said was Easy Jet. Very good indeed. A few years ago at Tea in the Park, Serge asked me for some Scottish words for the big scream when they were on stage, and he put one of them on his T-shirt. It said Raj, a word plucked straight from an Irvin Welsh book. So this is Kasabian, You're in Love with a Psycho, here on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart and producer Finn. I hope you enjoyed that. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review and tell all your friends about it. We'll be back with another edition very soon.
Radio X.